The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
We're halfway home. It's been a really great show. Brian Kelly joining us earlier, talking about LSU's spring game coming up this weekend. And we're not done yet. We have a lot to do here in the final 2 hours, including your phone calls. Let's get right back to the topic we've been talking about for a couple of days, and that is this FPI poll that came out from ESPN. Preseason, Ohio State won, Bama, Georgia, LSU, Texas. It is so easy to find fault with that, and our next guest did not do it, for the record, but we're going to blame him anyway. Bill Conley joining us. We'll talk about his rankings. But, Bill, I realize you, just because you work at ESPN doesn't mean you participate, but you do know the people that do. Can you explain how this thing comes about?
No, they're very smart people. I've enjoyed every interaction I've ever had with the sports and the stats and information group, just for the record.
Yeah. Right.
No, I think a lot of these predictive rankings come out in pretty similar ways. There's an aspect of recent performance. There's an aspect of who you're returning. A lot of them take recruiting into account in some way. And for the most part, we spit out relatively similar results. And to be sure, you know, my SP Plus rankings compared to FPI, they're pretty close for the most part. FPI has Texas and LSU a hair higher. I've got Michigan and Penn State, I think, a hair higher. But overall, it is a pretty similar output. And, you know, anytime we see Texas ranked higher than we think, we're going to react to it. But that seemed to be all predictive systems last year that had that problem.
Okay, Bill, nice try to defend the stats and information people. I realize you don't want to offend them, but I have to ask you, and I don't mean to sound like we're in the closing arguments of a murder trial here, but how in anyone's good conscience can you put Georgia behind Alabama and Ohio State?
Yeah, and I mean, it just all depends on how we're judging that return in production piece, how we're judging the recruiting piece. I know my SP Plus that came out in February, Georgia was number one, but Ohio State was pretty close. I think that speaks to what they returned. They returned a ton defensively, and the defense wasn't good enough last year, but it was a lot better. And they still return a lot outside the quarterback position. But it is, I was at least a little surprised, just because Ohio State, Alabama, and Georgia all lose their quarterbacks. And so the fact that Ohio State and Alabama still hopped them was at least a hair of a surprise, even though they are pretty close overall.
You had Bama one or two spots down, which is fine. I understand yep. that. But help us better understand Texas.
So Texas is the problem with Texas is that they're Texas. And so we if it was some other team, just pick some other Big 12 team or future SEC team or whatever. And we look at a team that almost beat Alabama, played most of the really good teams on their schedule well, lost nothing but just, you know, fourth quarter games, a break here and there, and then returns a ton of their talent with a good recruiting class and all that. We would just kind of assume that team's ready to make a step forward. The problem is it's Texas, and we've been, you know, we've cried wolf a lot with Texas, and eventually they actually have to prove that, you know, all this consistent hype is worth it. But that's the bottom line is, I mean, the recruiting is good. The returning production is good. And they lost a ton of close games, mostly to good teams. And they were close to being, you know, 10-11 win team. And my numbers had the same problem last year. And it was not a lot of fun pressing the button every Sunday morning and thinking, oh, Texas lost and went up again. But I understand how it happens, at least.
So Bill, when you do your rankings, give us a behind the curtain look at what are you factoring in?
So with mine, it's a lot based on that efficiency, just success rate. Was this play successful or not? Did you get half your yards on first down? Did you get 2/3 or 70% on second down? Did you convert third down? Stuff like that, because big plays are really wild and random, and turnovers are really wild and random. So basically, all of us who do this are trying to figure out those little sustainable bits that you can actually count on to make predictions from week to week. And I know a lot of what what FPI is derived from comes from expected points added, just the general idea of what did you add or subtract your ability to score on this play and then this one and this one. And again, Texas because they did so well against better opponents, Texas kind of gets the benefit of the doubt from those systems. And it's one of those, like an 82 game season, they might've done just fine, but in the 12 that they actually played last year, they didn't do as well.
We're chatting with Bill Connelly here about all of these rankings. Bill, LSU is ranked high in yours and in the FBI. We had Brian Kelly on. He seemed very confident, talked about the fact he has two starters at quarterback. It's expected to be another really good season. When you look at LSU, what do you see and what stands out?
Well, I think the interesting thing about LSU is the way I've been trying to account for recruiting, especially this year, trying to balance freshman recruiting with transfers and everything else. They kind of mastered that balance. They had a top 10 or 15 recruiting class. They brought in a ton of transfers, pretty good, you know, transfers who actually played at their last school, not guys that we're not sure about. And they kind of gamed that recruiting piece. That's how they moved up in mine, combined with having at least a solid ranking last year as well. But it is interesting. I mean, there are more ways to build a good team now than there ever have been. And if there's a balance to be found between taking, you know, 15, 20 really good freshmen and then like 10 or 15 more transfers as well, Brian Kelly seems to be as close as anybody to kind of mastering that that ratio, so to speak. And the advanced stats liked him for it, at least. We'll see if they can back it up.
SC has the best quarterback coming back. They have so many aspects that should put them in a strong position, but they always find ways to make you not so sure, like the bowl game last year, like some of their collapses. What do you see when you look at Lincoln Riley's team?
I mean, probably the best offense in the country, right? I mean, Caleb Williams, everything you just said, plus Lincoln Riley's history on the offensive side of the ball, they get all the benefit of the doubt in the world when it comes to scoring points. But USC's recent history plus Lincoln Riley's history, it means they can't defend. In however many years he's been a head coach now, he's had about a half a season of really, really, really good defense. And it came, the second half of 2020. They had three really, really good pass rushers, and that made the difference. Well, they haven't had that since, and they didn't have that last year at USC. And we'll see, for all the talent he brings to the offensive side of the ball, he just doesn't bring as much talent to the defense either. He doesn't recruit as well on that side, and it shows up. He has an aggressive defensive coordinator who they get toasted when that aggression doesn't pay off. And they got toasted a lot last year, especially in the bowl game.
Last year, you mentioned Texas earlier, schools that we always seem to fixate on. Notre Dame was one of those. Yep. Clearly overranked. I see. It seems like everybody's learned their lesson. Is that true?
Yeah, I had my SP Plus had Notre Dame 15th. FPI has them 9th. That makes sense. There are a lot of teams bunched in that area. Teams that recruit pretty well, kind of a top 15-ish area. They usually, you know, win quite a few more than they don't, but they haven't necessarily shown elite characteristics. I would say somewhere between 9th and 15th feels about right to them. Obviously, they have a chance to upgrade at the quarterback position pretty considerably this year if Sam Hartman can get that system down and stick at the quarterback. At starting quarterback. But yeah, I mean, they're a top 15-ish program that sometimes we think can make a leap to top five, and haven't necessarily been right about that so far.
Clemson has been up there forever. It seems like reality is catching up to them in the rankings. I see them in one and not the other. What's your view of Dabo Swinney's team?
Yeah, I mean, if Dabo just wins 10 games a year for the next 10, 15 years, that's still a pretty great career. But it does seem like they are bearing burden of proof now. Whatever they, you know, that run they had through, I guess, 2019 or 2020, I guess, is in the past. They've slipped the last couple of years. They bounced back a little last year, but their defense also wasn't as good. Lots and lots of turnover now. So I do think, I mean, they're obviously going to be one of the two, maybe three at worst, best teams in the ACC, but they have to prove their top three or four potential again. And until we see the new offense, we can't really assume that.
Speaking of the ACC, Florida State is LSU's first game. It's a game that we're all watching very closely. What do you yep. have for the Seminoles?
I do think the numbers kind of send a message in that regard. It was really easy with the way they ended the season, scoring a ton of points. The defense kind of came and went, but they won a lot of games, obviously, down the stretch. I know I was getting yelled at for my numbers not liking them as much as the eyeballs did towards the end of the year. I mean, at the same time, they barely beat a 6-7 Oklahoma team in the bowl game. And the fact that they're only projected, I think, 11th in my rankings and somewhere like 13th or 14th, I think, in FPI, again, I kind of like that. You know, maybe they can exceed that, but let's tap the brakes a little bit. They're not necessarily a top five program unless they can take what they did late last year and improve on it, make do even better defensively.
I know guys like you hate questions like this because there's just no way to get it right. But is there a TCU lurking out there in the wilderness?
Yeah, I mean, I think the best odds, it's kind of take your pick among Big 12 teams. But what we've seen each of the last 2 years is a couple Big 12 teams are going to go, you know, 5-1 in one score games. And if they can win out in non-conference and win their conference championship, they're going to be sitting there. Well, I guess TCU didn't win their conference championship, but they still ended up 12-1 at the end of the year. That'll get you into the playoff more often than not. So I do think it's those conferences at that level, Big 12, maybe Pac-12, ACC. If a team rips off a lot of close wins and has enough athletes to compete in the semifinals, they can do it. It's just, yeah, take your pick. Like it could be any of about 25 different teams that actually wins those close games. You can never really tell that part.
Bill Conley from ESPN, he is not the one that had Ohio State number one. That's somebody else, and we will not mention his name until he comes on the show. Bill, be well. Great to see you again. Thanks always for being a sport. We hit the break right now. It's been a busy one with Brian Kelly from LSU earlier. We had one of the top gymnasts in the world on early, who just had a perfect 10 in the NCAA. Your phone call is right around the corner.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And welcome back here on a Thursday afternoon. A lot of conversation about the upcoming season. Ohio State won in the FPI. Jeff is up next in Columbus.
What's going on, Paul?
Hey, Jeff.
I mean, why are you even wondering about the validity of this FPI or whatever is poll, Paul? I've told you for years that it's not even worth getting worked up about, Paul. Is it just for discussion, or why are you even wondering? There's only one way to make these polls make any sense, and I've told you, have the people that step up and do these things, hold them accountable. We hold the coaches and the players accountable. If they're off so much, they either get a cut in their salary or they lose their job. I mean, that's the only way this thing's going to ever get traction. I mean, if guys are just going to throw stuff out there with no consequences, why do you think they're so bad, Paul?
Well, Jeff, it's part of the entertainment of sports. In the offseason, we make predictions. And unlike in certain countries around the world, if you're wrong, you're not thrown in a prison cell for the rest of your life. We just kind of laugh it off and move on.
Okay, but I don't know why you even question the validity of them then. I mean,
well, the reason I do that, Jeff, is I host a sports show every day, and a big part of the sports show is arguing about whether predictions are going to come true or not. I realize you're in a more finite business, building homes and doing constructive things. But in my little world, I have to find something to do every day.
Well, and the other reason you get a little fired up is when you see the Buckeyes at number one. I mean, you know that doesn't sit well with the masses. Speaking of sitting well with the masses.
It's not a matter of sitting well with the masses. It's just a matter of how comical it is, considering I think the Buckeyes have won one championship since the early 2000s.
Hey, I didn't put them there. Like I said, complain to the people that put them there and hold them accountable, Paul, if it bothers you that much. Speaking of that, are these Bama fans, are they going to make it through the heat and humidity of this summer? I think they're starting to break down already, Paul, over this Georgia scenario, don't you?
They're struggling.
I mean, they're losing their mind. Huh?
I think they're struggling. Yeah, I would agree with that.
I mean, they are really struggling. And the funniest call was when Larry called in and he was all riled up with you and the Bama quote-unquote haters. And then you remember about two calls later, the guy calls in and says, I don't know why he's getting so worked up. It's just a game. I mean, didn't that guy get the memo? It just means more in the SEC. I mean, that cracked me up when that guy was trying to tell the Bama fans that don't get too riled up. It's just a football game. I mean, how many people are going to listen to that, Paul, of your listeners?
I don't know, Jeff. You tell me.
Hey. Are you getting tired of all these draft analysis that are out there? Are you ready for the draft to come around and get over with?
It's only a week away, Jeff.
I know. I can't wait for it to be over because these guys are just guessing at all these picks right now. I mean, let's get it going and get it on. I'm anxious for the draft. The talking season's about run its course, don't you think?
I do, Jeff. Just like that that singer that had like one hit. And just keep showing up, trying to sing it. Jeff, come up with some new material the next time, okay? Squirrel is up next.
You knew he was going to use the word accountable during the
talk. I mean, Jeff's an absolute. I mean, if you make a wrong prediction, I mean, it's back to the Stone Age, isn't it?
I mean, what is it with him and his bosun buddy Jim, where you can't have an opinion? You know what I mean? I mean, it's just bizarre.
If you have Squirrel, if you are incorrect, it's eye for an eye.
You get flogged or something. I don't know what.
Cane flogged, beheaded. That's the world he lives in.
Yeah. Do you still have that arrowhead I gave you?
Somewhere. Yeah, I do.
I'm out in the field right now. If you hear a lot of wind, I'm looking for another one. But I was listening and I heard you. Going through your callers to pick a potential coach. And I just found it ironic that one of your few callers that actually played football and coached, you didn't even give him zero consideration whatsoever. You're forgetting I'm the Marv Levy of youth football. 4 championship games, 4 losses. Remember me telling you about that last year?
Who was that?
So, me. So, like I said, if you're ever looking for a coach, you know, like I said, you need to
Well, my deepest apologies for – I should have remembered that when you gave me the arrowhead.
The main reason I called him 420 is you got a fan. She's 94 years old today. She's in Huntsville. She's a little under the weather, and she's in the hospital. But I wanted you to say happy birthday to Pearl Bogren. She's a fine lady that grew up in Oak Ridge. She was a mother. Her and her late husband, Don, were a mother to many of us young men in Oak Ridge in the 60s and 70s and 80s.
And her name is Pearl Squirrel?
Pearl Bogren, and she's a listener to your show all the time. They got 2 daughters. I graduated with the younger one. The older one was a majorette at Alabama, and so we would go to games in the 70s and what have you, and got to get a little insider on some things there. But, no, she's a big fan of yours. She watches your show all the time. And I promised her I'd call today on her birthday.
Well, Pearl, from all of us, including Squirrel, we wish you a very happy birthday. We're so happy to hear you're part of our family.
She is. Thank you so much. And this gift that AC gave you, if you don't mind me asking, what is it?
He sent us a gift certificate.
To what?
To
Blockbuster?
What was it? Dunkin' Donuts. Dunkin' Donuts.
Dunkin' Donuts. Okay.
Very nice.
I mean, he's getting pretty thick with the I love you. I don't know, man. I know it's 2023 and you guys are trying to be progressive, but I don't know about that. Thanks for taking my call. Aloha.
Harold is up next.
Hello.
Hello, Harold.
Hello, pal.
Yes.
Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
You were talking about Joe and Kenny yesterday, and I didn't get through in time. Got a couple of stories about them and one or two about Coach Bryan, if you don't mind.
Oh, absolutely. Sure.
I worked with a lady in Winfield in an office in Winfield, and her and her husband like to go party in Tuscaloosa on Saturday, on the weekends. One Saturday night, they were down there. Now, you may know most of these, not all of these things, but anyway, the audience may not know. Anyway, they were at this place, and Joe got up on the table and danced. Next Monday morning, when Coach Bryant sat across the table from him at breakfast time, he said, "Did you?" And he said, "Yes." I said, "Get your stuff and move out." Steve Sloan rescued us from Auburn in the bowl game.
Oh, that's right.
But then later on, a year or so later, Kenny got in hot water with Coach Bryant. And he told him, "Get your stuff and move out." And he called Joe. Joe said, "You mean it."
That's a great story.
Talking about Joe, they were still playing Georgia Tech then, and there was an All-American defensive back at Georgia Tech. Said he'll not throw a touchdown in my zone. So got down about the 10-yard line, and he hit him right between the numbers. He could throw it pretty hard. And the next play was a touchdown in his area. Anyway, I worked with a fellow in a GM plant in the Atlanta area. And this fellow worked with me from East Tennessee. And he went to the Tennessee-Alabama game, and he said it rained all the first half. After the first half was over with, he came back. Coach Bryant came out, looked up in the sky, and it quit raining. And they was six to nothing, Tennessee. And the Snake scored a touchdown right toward the end of the game. And they won 7-6. And then another on Coach Bryant. Coach Bryant. They were behind 17-0 one time. And they were behind 17-0, and the players and the assistant coaches were all gathered and dreaded when he came in, and he waited, and finally opened the door and said, "Excuse me, I didn't know it was in the ladies' room. Turn around and left."
That's a good story. Harold, you ought to do a routine. You got these stories down. Thank you so much for sharing them. We are heading to a break right now. More of your phone calls. We had Brian Kelly on earlier. Great conversation with the LSU coach. We head to the break. Back with more.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
90 minutes remaining on a Thursday afternoon, and Larry is up next. What's up, Larry?
What's up, Paul Feinbaum? How you doing?
We're doing great, Larry. What's up with you?
Oh, man, I'm wonderful. I feel absolutely gorgeous. Hey, I walked down to the pier with my dog, Jack and Lucy, and walked down to the river and walked around and thought, "How it'd be great, me and you go fishing." Oh, that'd be wonderful, man.
Yeah, Larry, something about that I don't feel comfortable with.
Yeah.
I don't know why we're out. What lake are you on, Lay Lake?
Yeah.
I mean, something tells me we're out in the middle of Lay Lake in some little small cove. And Larry goes, now, this is my favorite little hiding area. Nobody knows where it is. And Larry, something tells me that you're not somebody to be trusted in a fishing boat.
Ooh, you. I mean, you are not trusting me. You're right, because you're a Bama hater.
And what would you possibly do to me out there with nobody around, Larry?
Well, I would take you after I knocked you out, and then I would tie an anchor around your ass, and then wake you up and drop you out there in the Narrows, about 300 foot deep, and drop you out there and would never find your little skinny ass. And then you go down there and you be gasping bear and you be looking at all them catfish. You know, some of them, man.
Now Larry, you're forgetting. I'm actually a pretty good swimmer. That would not stop me.
I tied him ankle with that.
No, here's the problem, Larry. Do you think I would ever get in the boat with you without somebody watching?
I've already
got my security.
Listen,
one of your fellow callers has promised to provide security for my fishing trip.
Yeah. Well, look, man, I'm gonna ask. I'd love to get some of these callers on the phone, like John, and act like they know so much about Bama football. I'd like to ask you a question. Just be normal. Don't go into last year. We got the best recruiting class Saban's ever had.
Correct.
Okay. How many quarterbacks do we have on campus?
Well, I believe it's three or four.
Four.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of Eli Holstrom?
I have, yes.
Okay. Was he not rated the number one quarterback in the world and Mars and Jupiter and Venus and them other places?
He was definitely ranked pretty high. I don't remember specifically where he was ranked.
See, there's things like this that these idiots like John and these damn morons that you got that answers this phone. And I tell them, I hope they listen because y'all are damn morons. You don't know about your own football team. You want to get down on mine. We lost two games in 10 years, and that's supposed to be terrible. And I'm not going to try to not going to get mad. But, Paul, you push the buttons. And you know what you do to me. I mean, you
Larry,
push your damn buttons,
see, Larry, I don't want to diminish Eli. I'm sure he's a great player, but maybe there's a reason he's been there for a while, hasn't he?
He just got there. He's a
he got there in December, didn't he?
He's a freshman. He
well, okay.
Play
I
right
said
now.
He just got so.
In front of him. See there you go, Paul. Bam. Just like that. He's got two people in front of him that got a chance.
So why am I supposed to care? Why am I supposed to care about the third string? Why am I supposed to care about the third string quarterback at Alabama?
You laughed at me. Remember now, apologize for laughing.
Larry, I don't care about Eli Holstrom. I really don't. He's the third string quarterback at Alabama.
Who's the new recruit for 24 quarterback? Do you know?
I can't tell you his name. I've heard his name, but those things don't matter, Larry.
S-A-Y-N. What you saying?
I say those things really don't matter until they show up.
Look at their schedule, Paul. Look at their schedule. Look at Georgia's schedule last year, and they almost lost a couple of games. I'm sick and tired of Georgia.
Larry, here's your problem. Larry, here's your problem. Everybody's got good quarterbacks. Everybody gets good recruits. And
we got the best recruiting class of the century.
Yeah.
That's right, Paul.
Larry,
we got 13 of the top.
Larry, I don't care. I mean, the truth of the matter is it doesn't matter because a year ago, A&M had the best recruiting class. And next year, Georgia's going to have the best recruiting class.
That coach at A&M ain't Nick Saban, Jack. Coach Saban.
I don't know.
I think
the coach out there is pretty good.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, I'm gonna tell you something. We got my problems with is.
I tell you one thing, Larry.
I
tell you the guy at A&M who you're making fun of has a better offensive coordinator than you do.
Yeah, hey, Patina, I'm not going to lie when something's the truth, but y'all lie when something's the damn truth. I watch recruiting. Our offensive line is stacked, Jack. So you take that, Paul. And
Larry,
shove it
first,
up
of
your
all,
little,
first of all, you don't know that.
Home.
You have no idea what you're talking about.
Paul,
you just read all this.
You see there, just like John or else.
No, I'm just telling you, Larry, you, there's more to recruiting these days than just listening to what some recruiting expert says. It's what you do with them.
I watch recruiting, Paul.
It doesn't matter. You may watch it, but you still don't know what you're looking at.
I do, Paul. I know what offensive lineman looks like in the defense. Paul, we're stacked.
Larry, the truth, Larry, you have no idea what you really. I don't want to upset you, but you have no idea what you're looking at. You have to take into consideration the classification that they're playing in. What happens when and once they and once they get to campus, their recruiting star does not matter anymore, Larry. You and many other football fans forget that.
Hey,
it doesn't matter if you were a four star a year ago or a five star.
Georgia, hey, you Georgia fans kicked your ass in recruiting on that one, didn't we, boys? Y'all hear me out there? It's Larry from Shelby. Yeah, they roll down tight all over y'all's ass. Get out of that easy, sissy schedule. Got it?
Larry, we'll all say a prayer for you, okay? Peggy is up next in Tennessee. Hello, Peggy.
Wow, Paul, honey, you deserve, look, it ain't none of my business, but you just, whatever you make, you deserve every dime and more and a raise if anybody's listening.
Thank you.
Sir. Hey, listen. I'm just sitting here. I was just, but I need to ask a question first. I've listened to you, for years, but I've just been calling since right for my birthday, February. I'm 65. Now, when I called in the other day, I think Pat called after me, and after that, I can't listen to stuff till like two or three days after because I got to check on my mom, all that stuff. Anyway, I finally listened to it, and, I heard the call. It sounded pretty good to me. I told you about how I found out about you. It was through my son when he's 17, and then he became the youngest high school coach, and we kind of left it to third because, that was a good place to leave it. But then Jim calls, and for whatever reason, he decides he wants to call me. He don't say Miss Piggy like the cutesy from Sesame Street. He just goes, Piggy from Tennessee, and how boring the call was, how awful it was. He was just about to die. It was terrible. Coming from the man that was suing you. But I want to know how old this person is because I'm 65.
And so you would like to know how old Jim is? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
Well, the answer, Peggy, is I don't know how old he is. He says he's young.
Oh, okay.
So I really, it is not a requirement on the show to give your age. You're welcome to do so. We head to the break after that, and we invite you to give us a ring at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, Who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
In a week out before the draft, tomorrow we will, tonight is actually a week from tonight, we'll talk to Mina Kimes tomorrow early in the show, one of the most knowledgeable NFL experts on the planet. And let's get back to this planet, I think. And Dale is up next in Colorado. Hello, Dale.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
We are well, thank you.
It's my favorite time of the day. Off of work, cold beer, listening to Paul.
Thank
hey,
you.
Hey, but I don't think you should go fishing with Larry. You might end up on a milk carton.
No, there's no way. Because Larry's already, and by the way, if I end up dead, that's premeditated murder.
I know, you got witnesses. We all heard it.
Alabama still has the death penalty, so Larry will be going to the big house.
I know. So, hey, I just got a comment on some stats, and I would like your feedback once I'm done, if you allow me, please, sir. So, the coaches in the first six seasons who has put the most players in the NFL draft is Tressel, Coker, and then Kirby. Now, we all know Kirby's getting probably five or six more this year. Okay, so that would put him over 50. Of any coach in history among college football coaches, that would be the most ever in the first seven seasons. So I'm just saying, I'm not saying Kirby's the GOAT, whatever, but he's making a damn good run at it. I love the Dogs. Love you, Paul. Go Dogs. I'll hang up now.
I'm just curious where a guy comes up with that stat, where you decide to research first 6 years of a coach and how many people they put in the draft. Kevin is up next. Kevin, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Every time I hear Jim, there's one thing that comes to my mind, Paul, and you tell me if I'm wrong. Earl Pitts. I mean, Jim is just always mad and always angry. You know what I mean? I mean, Larry's just like fingernails on a chalkboard. But on a football note, what do you think about if they move Jalen Milroe to like a Debo Samuel role?
Well, I think he's a dynamic player, but I'm not sure why they will do that until they realize he is not going to be the quarterback.
Well, I mean, I've seen him play a couple times, and actually in person, and he just seems to me like he's the best athlete on the field. And if he could catch at all, and he's got good size, and I just think he would be a better fit that way. But listen, I'm not the coach. Saban is. And I'll hang up and listen. Thanks for taking my
call. Thank you very much. Interesting idea in case Saban is listening. Joe is up next in Georgia. Hello, Joe.
Hey, Paul. How's it going today?
We are doing great.
Better
thank
watch
you.
Your back for Larry now.
Yeah, I am.
Watch your back for Larry. I mean, just the thought of him just being able to spit that out is a little concerning that he already has a plan of how to take you off and for you never to be seen again. Are you a little concerned about that?
I'm not concerned for this reason, Joe. I don't plan on being in the same county with him ever again.
That's a good choice, probably. I mean, when he started the day, I thought, man, Larry doesn't sound like he's been into the booze as quite as much today. I could kind of understand him. Didn't need the words to pop up to explain what he was saying. But then he went off on a tangent. He went from the quarterback at Alabama to Georgia's no good. I don't know how I was trying to follow him, and then he just jumped over him. But it's like, Georgia's no good. They got an easy schedule, blah, blah, blah. It sounds like he's a little concerned that Georgia might do it again.
Yeah, I think he's more than concerned, Joe. And I don't have any doubt Nick Saban is a phenomenal recruiter. But Larry was trying to sell us on the third-string quarterback.
Right.
That's not the answer.
Well, I mean, Georgia should be a little concerned, too, now. I mean, we don't have a set quarterback either, but I guess
I think Georgia has Georgia has three quarterbacks that I think are all capable of playing.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you, but we still don't know who that one's going to be on starting day, for sure.
Well, we are pretty sure. Hey, thank you for the call. Logan is in Arkansas. Hello, Logan. Good afternoon.
What's up, Paul? How you doing?
We're doing great.
So I don't know if you remember me calling another day, but I called and we got into talking about top five quarterbacks in the SEC who are going to be starters this next upcoming season.
Yeah, I remember that call.
Okay. Well, I have a top five set, and I think that this should be taken into consideration. Spencer Radler is still in the SEC.
Sure is.
He'd probably be my number one.
Okay.
Number two is more than likely Jackson Dart, but he could be replaced by Spencer Sanders, too.
Logan, maybe I need to stop you here. You're telling us that you think Jackson Dart is the second best quarterback in the SEC?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Okay. Are you related to Jackson Dart?
No.
Okay. Keep going.
Why do you think he's not? You think KJ Jefferson?
I just wanted to make sure you said that. Who else you got in your list?
Devin Leary.
That's an interesting one. I think you may be right on that one.
Will Rogers at number four.
Okay.
And then number five would be Brady Cook from Missouri.
Hmm. Okay. And no DJ, no.
Well, you could replace Brady Cook with Jalen Milroe from Alabama.
Okay. Well, there you go. You got it. You'll be sitting here tomorrow with that list. We take a break, an hour to go.